what you waiting on? Check, check, us on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast, surely. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Belly, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Belly, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony.
We're live here. Escape Restaurant and Lounge in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Myself, Tony Sands, my girl, Kiki is in the building. Ryan Bartow will be joining us at about 6:15. We're going to get down here at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. As usual, my assistant has a problem with her phone, her clock, her watch, everything. She's continually, and we've not, you know, the strange thing about that joining the show, we talked about this before I got here. We talked about this before I got here. She got on me and told me, she got on me and said that she would be on time. And I said to her, prove me wrong.
Right.
She said, you know, hey, I done been on time before. I said, that's fine, but prove me wrong today.
It take us a little time, Tony. You know
but
that.
That's what I'm saying. But see, listen, let me tell you something. And it is what, you know, in this thing with Colin Kaepernick kneeling down and all this thing, we want, you know, we want everything to be our way.
Right.
But we have a hard time understanding that America does not work off CPT time. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as CPT time. And for those that are joining the Tony Sands Show, that listen, CPT time means color people time. Color people time, we tend to be a little late.
Right.
So now, I'm telling you, listen, we got to be on. Hey, listen, we run it, and this is the way it is. The world don't work on our time, especially with, you know, when I look at it with black, you know, African-American women.
Right.
Tend to, what is it? Do you guys take longer to get dressed?
Yeah, that's why I wake up at 4 o'clock to come here at 5.
Right, but I'm trying to figure out, do it take you guys longer to get dressed?
Yes. Because you gotta make sure everything looks right, everything's in tip-top shape. You never know who's gonna walk in this door tonight.
I understand all that, but if I said something, I say, okay, I'm gonna be somewhere at 6 o'clock. If it takes me 4 o'clock to get dressed to make sure that, see, what happens is people tend to try to say, if I gotta be somewhere at 6 o'clock,
right?
I wanna get there at 5:59.
No.
I'm just telling you, this is what happened. They don't say, let me get there at 5:30. They say it's 5:59.
5:59. You have to write it.
And that way I'm walking through the door.
He's actually writing his
book. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, to make sure that we are doing what we're doing. But
right.
But here and there, let's get into the show, man. The show is going to be exciting.
Enough, listen, enough for this.
One thing
next
about
time
this lineup.
Be on time. Next Monday.
Listen,
I promise.
Listen, I'm going to be all over regardless. I'm going to have Jackie all over too when she get here.
All right.
You know, her Eastern Star people are going to be all over too.
Oh,
cause
yeah.
Because they're planning on coming into the building.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
But this is what we got. This is our show lineup today, guys. Listen, Cowboys win. Miami Dolphins win.
That's
guess who
Dolphins.
Else wins?
Who else wins?
Nah, I don't even, I'm trying to.
Let me help.
No. I can't even say it. New England. I'm trying to say it. But I gotta say, one thing I must say about Bill Belichick, he is a genius.
Right.
He just plug him in.
I saw.
Third string quarterback, you plug in, and all of a sudden everything runs smooth.
I saw the game, Tony. That game.
Everything runs smooth. You do not miss a beat. You don't miss a beat. When I say a beat, you do not miss
a
beat. At all, it is what it is. Not only that, we got listen, we're going to be in Oregon. We got our main man from Oregon State, running back coach. Coach Telly Lockett will be joining the Tony Sands Show today, talking recruiting in South Florida. Again, as we had Coach from West Virginia on, Coach Sala on from West Virginia, we have now Coach Telly Lockett, who coached at Miami Central, who Miami Central just beat.
Right.
Again, Booker T.
lost again.
Booker T. goes and beat American Heritage, who was ranked at that time, beat St. Thomas, and from there, the bottom fell out. They lost to Jackson, and they lost to Miami Central.
Telling me they beat the top two schools, they bought, Broward, but can't whoop
nobody. And the one school was the number one in the nation. St. Thomas was number one in the nation when they met them.
But that game don't even count, Tony, because I feel like St. Thomas won that game. To me, I think
okay,
St.
So
Thomas won
you're going to cause of the catch, correct? The catch, you know, but I'm telling you, it's hard for me to see. It's hard for me to see you just let the bottom fall out of you after that.
Right.
The bottom falls completely out of what's going on. But also, not only that, like I said, we got, hey.
You want to talk about LSU firing their head coach?
LSU fires Les Miles.
Two times, they.
But you. You expect that to happen.
Right.
Sooner or later, that was going to happen.
But I was watching that. No. I was watching that, and I could see that the LSU coach, he's used to running. He was a running. That school is not for a quarterback and not for a wide receiver.
But, no, they've been debating. They've been wanting a wide open. They've been wanting a wide open type of passing attack.
Right.
Since this thing started. So, we're going to get into a little bit of Les Miles. Not only did Les Miles get fired,
FIU
coach get fired. Coach Van Gorder from the University of Notre Dame, the D.C. at Notre Dame, gets fired.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a lot of things going on in the sports world, and I'm quite sure, with my main man Ryan Bartow is with us, I'm quite sure there will probably be a lot more dismissals taking place
by the end of these next 2 weeks.
The next couple of weeks if people are not winning. Now, I'm going to tell you, Ryan is with us also, guys. I'm going to tell you, Ryan. Now, it's been rumored, okay, you fire Coach Van Gorder, okay? Now, was that your scapegoat to save your job for another year or another couple of weeks?
Well, Notre Dame enters the season top 15 in the country. Obviously, offense wasn't the problem there. They didn't expect to start 1-3. They had that close loss to start the season against Texas. That program never expects to lose to Duke. So what you're seeing more and more is coaches getting the plug pulled on them. He went in the season on the hot seat, and obviously they did not play well in the first four games on the defensive side. They did do good on offense. Brian Kelly calls the plays for Notre Dame. He's also the head coach, so he's not going to fire himself.
Yeah, he can't fire himself. But now you wonder if the pressure came down on him to say, hey, you got to make some decisions that you got to make. And you got to make these decisions, and you got to make them fast. But the simple fact is that it's either you or you change the way things are going, which I'm going to tell you something. And I think the pressure been on Van Gorder since last year. One of my sources told me that they spoke to Coach Van Gorder last year, and he told them, you know, things wasn't so smooth going on there.
Yeah, I think there was a little riffle, as you see everywhere, between head coach and coordinator in this specific instance. I don't know if there was so much a president situation, because I don't view Brian Kelly as a guy on the hot seat. He's not too many years removed from playing for it all there.
Yes.
It was more for him, was he going to leave and take an NFL job more
correct.
Than he loses his own job. We're talking
correct.
About a guy that's consistently winning 9, 10, sometimes 11 games at Notre Dame. Not an easy job. Given the academic standard, now you're able to recruit nationally there and you have great tradition, but at the same time, I think in this instance, that was more of a head coaching call than a president.
And Van Gorder, I think this, as a matter of fact, I think this was the last year on his contract.
Yep.
I think this was the last year, but my source told me this was pretty much the last year on his contract. So with this being the last year on his contract, and I'm quite sure the most majority of guys' contracts are up in June. So they when they look at what they got to pay him, the remainder of his contract is only a couple months. A school like Notre Dame, who I'm quite sure has ooze of money, to buy out.
And it's not easy to be a D coordinator these days, especially in college football where everybody's running spread, tempo, snapping it 70 to 90 times a game. And so that's a tough position, and you're often the scapegoat for that, especially when your head coach is an offensive guy like it is with Brian Kelly in this instance. So I think that is going to be an enticing position, though, for a lot of candidates in the offseason. We'll see how Hudson does as the interim. If he can turn it around and all of a sudden, you know, they go on a little streak here and he gets those guys to play hard on the defensive side of the ball, well, he could maybe vault up into that spot. But I know a lot of guys in the business would love to have that because that's a premier D coordinator job. You can get good athletes there. And you have a chance, you know, 9 out of 10 times to be successful there.
And I'm quite sure you're probably making anywhere in the range of $500,000. I think Frank Gordon was making $500,000. I think he was making $1 million. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was making $1 million at Auburn. And it's when he left Auburn and went to Notre Dame, I think he took a $500,000 pay cut. From what my sources said, my source is a reliable person because Van Gorder used to coach him when Van Gorder was coaching here at American Heritage.
Yep.
So, you know, he was telling me that he's, you know, Van Gorder took a, you know, pay cut, and we got into it and about possibly what would be the odds of him coming back to South Florida. I say the only way he would come back to Florida. I don't think there's a job here in South Florida but Miami, and that's all for years to come. So I wouldn't see him taking, you know, FIU or something like that. It's just not a big enough job for a guy that's been coaching at Atlanta.
Yeah, for Auburn. Next for him, I would see as an assistant, defensive assistant in the NFL game.
Yes.
Or potentially being a D coordinator somewhere else because he has a proven resume. And again, that's a hard job right now to be a defensive coordinator. And this guy, he's got a proven track record. So if there's a new staff coming in, whether it's LSU, whether it's going back to Auburn, if they have a change there, which is potentially a job to watch going forward.
Yes.
That could open up here. That guy will have options. There's no doubt.
Yeah. And that, you know, he would get a job offer. I think he'd probably sit out the rest. Now he may get called in quickly to be a defensive assistant
or consultant.
For an NFL team that's probably struggling along with their defense, trying to get it back on the right track, I'm quite sure he'll get called in with that unless his contract tells him that he can't take another job or it voids the last couple months of his deal. So we'll find out that here in the next couple months. And we're going to get Ryan Moore deep into the FIU situation. We're going to get deep into the Les Miles situation, which I'm quite sure anybody and every coach in America would love to have the LSU job.
I think it's one of the top 3 to 5 gem jobs in the country because you're in a unique situation. And I don't think anywhere, I know it's not Southern Cal because almost everybody recruits Southern California. It's definitely not South Florida because it gets over-recruited down here. That might be the only place in the country where it produces 30 to 40 D1 studs a year, and I'm talking 12 to 15 of them, 4-star caliber guys. So you can get almost every position you need in your own state, in your own backyard, and outside of Alabama every other year, plucking maybe a 4-star guy out of Louisiana.
Yeah.
LSU gets who they want in that state, and they get them to stay home. So you have everything that you need on that roster in your backyard, and 9 out of 10 times you're getting that kid if you want him. There's not too many places in the world that have that kind of perk. Plus, you got the facilities, you got the tradition, alumni, SEC, you can get kids in.
Right.
I mean, what is there not to like? So I think that it's huge upside job. And I think Coach Orgeron, as he did a couple years ago at Southern Cal, he's going to take over the interim. He'll get the recruits fired up. He'll get the team fired up. He opened practice early this evening, let the media come in, watch practice. So he's going to make it hard for that administration not to go with him come December. But I think at the end of the day, it's one or two guys. And we've targeted this guy for over a year now. Last year when we thought the job was going to open was Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. He had a great run as an offensive coordinator under Nick Saban at LSU. He has tremendous ties in the state of Louisiana. It's probably his favorite place to live. And he knows that LSU, what's the one thing that they need to get over the hump to win it all? They have everything in place in terms of skill, talent, in terms of defensive personnel. What's the one thing they need? Quarterback development. And that's what he specializes in. So a lot of perks there. There could be some underlining reasons why he would want to leave Tallahassee as well. Yes. So he's a guy to watch. I think it's between him and Tom Herman, who's the hottest coach in the country right now. What he's doing at Houston is incredible. I still think at the end of the day, it doesn't get past those two. I think you're going to see one or the other be the next guy in Baton Rouge.
I mean, and you, like you said, this thing played out last year, possibly, Jimbo Fisher took LSU to the wire and decided, you know, hey, I'm going to stay at Florida State another year. And that, when it went back to, they was going to keep Les Miles.
Yeah, and that was the administration kind of doing a sloppy job. And,
yes.
And that's a shame because Les Miles won a national title there. He won the second hardest thing in college football to do, win the SEC. He won that twice.
Why?
And so a guy like that, I mean, what was his record there? 124-34. He shouldn't have been treated like that by the administration. The whole country got to see the sloppy job that happened there. Then he wins his last game and the crowd goes nuts. You got to keep him then. I think bringing him back for a year, they were hopeful he would open up that offense and use all that skill around him. One thing that I think hurt him, too, is they were recruiting a lot of dual-threat QBs, but they played pro-style offense.
Fences.
So they were shoving that triangle into a square.
Into a square peg.
And that ultimately caught up to him and cost him his job.
And I think, like you said, it's because Cam, you know, a lot of people have been talking about, did he want to sever ties with a friend of his like Cam Cameron and decide, you know, and that's in coaching, you get a lot of that to where, you know, a head coach have to sever ties with someone that's on his staff, per se, in that defense of that defensive coordinator, that offensive coordinator position, they have to sever the ties. So I think in this situation, because it was told last time when all this, that they wanted a more wide open type of offense, but Cam Cameron don't run that type of offense. And I think Les Miles probably told me, hey, listen, I'm going to do what I want to do here. You hired me as the head coach. I'm going to keep Cameron on, and I'm going to prove you wrong. And I think that backfired on him.
And you see this a lot of times. When you have a head coach that was an offensive guy and you tell him he can't call plays anymore, get involved on offense, he's going to tell that OC, okay, you can have the title, but you're running my stuff.
Yes, right? Exactly.
And we saw that when Billy Napier was the OC at Clemson and was under Dabo. We're seeing that a lot right now in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Where T. Martin is a spread tempo guy. Clay Helton's like, you can call the plays, but you're going to call my
stuff. You're going to call what I tell you. You're going to do what I – because the ultimate thing is, it's the head coach job that's on the line.
Yeah, and this could be a unique scenario too at Southern Cal where that could be a one-and-done scenario.
Yeah.
That's a gem job.
And they got the money.
And you got everything you need there in terms of talent in your backyard. They're 1-3. They got Arizona State, who's undefeated, on deck coming this weekend. When you look at that schedule, outside of the first game, they probably have better recruited talent across the board, but they don't have as good a personnel use, especially on the defensive side. And that's allowing schools like UCLA, like Arizona State to actually beat them on the field.
Correct.
So that's a job to watch, too, that – if they're 1-4, 1-5 out of the gate here, they could pull the trigger on this guy before he's makes it through a single year.
And when you look at schools like, you know, like USC and out there, these big money schools, pulling the plug on a guy, that's nothing but giving a call to a booster. Hey, listen, we need to do a buyout of this amount. Booster writes the check. They're out of there. And point blank, period. The only person, other person I know that have been paid probably by three organizations after being fired, man, is my boy that just left Kansas. That was at New England. What's my guy's name? And Notre
Dame.
Charlie Weiss. Charlie Weiss.
Still getting paid by Notre Dame.
And Kansas.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he just ended his pay with the New England Patriots. You're sitting home and you're making more to sit home than Nick Saban.
I was thinking about this on the way over here, too. And Charlie Weiss, similar to Norv Turner, some of these guys are just better as play callers, as offensive coordinators.
Yeah. Right.
more so than they are as a head coach, because head coach, you've got to delegate, you got to take care of the boosters, you got to spend most of your time recruiting. Some guys are just ball coaches where they can do the X's and O's and need to be in that area.
Yeah.
They do sometimes such a good job of that that they vault up to be a head coach, but it isn't a fit for them. You know, Lane Kiffin is an example of that. He's got a great situation right now, and everybody's like, well, let's give this guy another job. Well, he's already proven for the Raiders, Southern Cal, in Texas, that he wasn't a head coach. How many more times can he get?
But I'm going to tell you something now. Lane Kiffin's name is coming in on that LSU job for the simple fact, and this is what people are saying. For the simple fact, if I want to get up under Nick Saban's skin, what do I do? I take his offensive coordinator, and I use that guy to try to beat the biggest giant in the conference, and I get up under his skin badly.
Yeah, but you know what? You actually do it with not Nick's current offensive coordinator. You do it with his old offensive coordinator.
Yes,
actually proven he knows how to win as a head coach.
Yes.
With Jimbo Fisher. That's the one that makes more sense.
That's what I said. When Lane Kiffin name came up, and I'm like, I don't know if you really would be getting up under Nick Saban's skin with Lane Kiffin, because when you look at him on the sideline, they're like oil and water.
Yeah, and I think what Nick, who's constantly looking to challenge himself, he's done everything you can. He's like, hey, country, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. I'm going to take this guy that has failure after failure after failure and win it all with him.
With him, yes.
Say, hey, I can win it even with this guy.
I'm going to show you, and like you said, that's the one, the beauty thing about Nick Saban. He's a different guy, but he's a winner. And that's what people must understand. This guy wins football games. But not only, you know, when we're talking about hiring and firing assistants, you know, the University of Texas was also, Charlie Strong was asked if he would get rid of Vance Beckford, who is his defensive coordinator. And right now, don't look like that might not happen.
And with Vance, who's his go-to guy, it's a lot harder to be a D coordinator when you're married to a spread tempo offense.
Yes.
Now, the first two years at Texas, the defense looked good because the offense is only snapping it 60, 65 times.
Correct.
They hire Sterling Gilbert from Texas or Tulsa, a former great high school coach in Texas. Well, he wants to snap it 90 times a game.
Yes.
Suddenly, the offense looks that much better. You're winning more. You're more entertaining. But that D coordinator, it's hard. There's only one guy, honestly, in the last 12 years of this advent of this spread tempo defense that's actually had a top 10 defense, and that's Brent Venables.
Yes, Brent.
And he's done it 2 years in a row at Clemson. So you know when you're married to that spread tempo offense that the keys for you are to play a lot of guys on defense, to get off the field on third downs. But you also know if you give up a lot of points, that's part of the deal. It's on the offense to win those games. If you can slow them enough and get turnovers on defense, then you've done your job.
You've done your job, correct. Now, we're live here at Escape Restaurant and Lounge in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 31st Avenue, 1451 Northwest 31st Avenue. You're joining the show, just not chiming in. We're talking about the Les Miles situation. Tony Sands, my main man, Ryan Bartow, the hardest man in the industry, Mr. 24/7 himself. Kiki is joining the show. We're talking sports and life. We're going to come back, Ryan. We're going to go to a quick.
We have high school. It's high school football.
Yeah, in high school day, we're going to have Sal Proud going to come join the show.
Right.
We have Nick Scalzo that will be joining the show. We're going to talk to him. And Ryan, we go to Oregon State.
And bring back one of South Florida's favorites. Telly Lockett won multiple state titles for Miami Central, built that up into a national powerhouse. And now he's really taken off. He's a great example of a guy getting a chance in South Florida and going to USF, doing a great job as a recruiter and a running back coach there, taking a step up into a Power 5 conference, going back to some of his old roots because he played his college ball in Idaho, and going back to Oregon State and coaching for Gary Anderson and still coming back down to Miami and getting one or two a year.
And stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show as we tell you where and who Telly Lockett's name is being linked to. Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show.
After all these years you'd like to I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free.
We're live here back at the Tony Sands Show at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. I'm going to tell you something. This is high school night. We have our main man, Nick Scalzo, the quarterback of Cardinal Gibbons. He's leading that team to a undefeated season. They've beaten one of their biggest opponents in their division. They got another hill to climb when they play American Heritage. But Jackson is one of the guys that has been a team that really that has stopped them from getting either in that one spot of the district or that number two spot, but they've already knocked off that spot. And then when you look at this way this whole domino thing is playing out, Booker T beats St. Thomas.
Right.
Beats American Heritage, two of the top-ranked schools in the country. Jackson goes and beats Booker T. Mm-hmm. Not only do Jackson beat Booker T, Miami Central beat Booker T. So then that puts me to say, okay, if Jackson beats Booker T, it makes the guys at American Heritage game wonder. And I'm going to keep that down. I'm just going to say, That's to the people that are listening. It makes American Heritage think a little bit more closer at this game that they're going to play, because it's going to be the game for the district championship, hands down.
Yeah.
So it makes them, I'm quite sure they went into the season thinking one way. But at this point in the season, I'm quite sure they're thinking another way, because, you know, they're probably looking at, you know, we done beat them 2 to 3 years in a row, and we beat them, you know, pretty much 70-something, 60-something. But now, hey, they beat Jackson. Jackson beat Booker T.
And nobody would have predicted any of this before the year. Good luck.
Nothing.
I can't wait to ask our guest coming up, Telly Lockett, what he thinks, because
yes.
He has to go to all these schools now. One of his close friends is Ice Harris at Booker T.
Yes.
Obviously, Roland Smith has taken over for what Telly built up at Central and kept the ball rolling big time there. Plus, he's got to go to Heritage and Gibbons and St. Thomas and Deerfield and go through those schools and try to get those kids. So I want to hear it from his vantage point.
But I'm going to tell you something. Now, I know me as a player that's on Cardinal Gibbons' team, I'm saying to myself, listen, okay, you guys didn't beat the team. We beat the team that beat that team.
Yeah.
Right.
You understand? We beat that team that beat that team. So guess who really right now going into this game, and if it's me, I'm saying as a player, we got the upper hand on you. Now you guys are thinking. We got you guys thinking, and this is where it's come into play. Cardinal Gibbons has a heck of a defense. They fly around. Man, Heritage is only going to give you so much. They're going to give you, pretty much, they're going to give you the, you know, the ground and pound.
Yep, downhill running game, inside zone off that, try to throw a little, do a little reverse.
And I'm quite sure Cardinal Gibbons is not going to let you just sit there and ground and pound them like you have done in years past.
Everybody saw the film when Heritage got blown out against Booker T. It was the key was to stack the box and pressure those tackles and make the QB for Heritage beat you through the air.
What he can't do.
Yes.
And he cannot beat you in the air. It's been proven. If they stack the box on him, and I don't know why teams are not even thinking, I'm going to stack the blocks and I'm going to blitz him. I'm going to make him beat me the way that he can't beat me.
Right. Yes.
And that's the key to that. But, hey, not only, like I said, this thing is playing out the way it's playing out, Miami Central just come off beating Booker T. You know, and our next guest who's on the line right now left that covered full. When I say he left it full.
Noted.
Normally, when you see some situations, some coaches say, okay, you know what? No, this thing, this cover is starting to look a little bear, so I'm finna jump ship. But this guy made sure that he did not leave the cupboard bare for Dade County. He made sure Miami Central had enough to continue what he started. And then he goes on, goes to South Florida, do well there.
Yep.
And he goes, then from there, he goes to Oregon State to continue his coaching ways. And when I say his coaching ways, I mean, you can't find a better guy.
Right.
And, you know, in the time that he was at Miami Central, I was covering high school football at that time for the Michael Irvin Show, and I had to go in there a couple times. And when I say a guy, one of the most down-to-earth guys that you could ever meet, that is him. He is that guy. You can't, like I said, you can't find a genuine coach. Sometimes coaches tend to be, when you go to those type of perimeter programs like the Booker T's, the St. Thomas's, the American Heritage, some people go in there and those coaches are up here. This guy's a down-to-earth guy, and he makes sure that, you know, you understand that, hey, we're family here at Miami Central. Joining the Tony Sands Show, way from Oregon State, a guy that I got a chance to know, Ryan, and he's a good friend of ours. He has to come back here to South Florida to coach. What I mean to coach, when he say coach, you coaching up young minds to get them to go to Oregon State.
Right.
As we talked to Snyder last week, asked him how do they get guys to go to West Virginia. How do you get guys to go to Oregon State? But we're going to let Coach Telly Lockett answer that question for us. Coach, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Tony? Thank you for having me on. You got the hottest guy in show business working with you, Ryan Bartow over there with you. So I know you two guys up to a lot of good things.
Hey, you know, we're trying. We're trying to get it done, Coach, and that's why we're on the grind trying to make sure that, you know, people get the information on these young guys here and understand we like to bring college coaches on to let them know how good the talent here in South Florida and what it's like recruiting in South Florida. Give us a coach. You've had a great career at Miami Central. You know Miami Central beat Booker T. When you saw that, what was on your mind when you saw that?
Well, for me, it's kids that knew each other playing optimists against each other, coaches been on the same coaching staff with each other. So what it really came down is what team can make the best adjustments. When you play inner city teams that know each other, it comes down to the team that can make the best adjustment. And I thought, you know, Central made a couple of great adjustments and saw the outcome of the game. Probably, you know, Booker T didn't play as well as they could have, but, you know, that's an explosive team also. And hats off to both of those squads. They're tremendous coaches. So, you know, they bring the best out of each other. So it's always a good rivalry when friendship and you know guys for over the years to sell it on the field.
Coach. Good to hear from you. Tell me a little bit about how's it working for a guy like Arian. I know he used to coach in my home state at Wisconsin. He made a decision 2 years ago back to go to the West Coast. He calls you up. He's like, hey, I need a guy to coach my running backs to recruit the Southeast for me, to bring some dogs onto this roster. Give our viewers, give our listeners an idea of how it is to work for a guy like Gary Anderson every day and his vision of the program at Oregon State.
Well, this go back some 22 years in the making. I played for Coach Anderson at Idaho State, so I've known Coach Anderson for many of years. But he's a great guy to work for, and he wants to build his recruiting base out of the South. When he was at Utah State, you know, he built it on South Florida kids. He went to Wisconsin, did the same thing, and we're going to try to follow the blueprint here at Oregon State. So he's a great guy, a no-nonsense guy that's by the book, and just a hard-nosed, tough guy that you'll love to play for.
And, Coach, and you're right, because I had an opportunity to train, because I train athletes here in South Florida. I had an opportunity to train some of the guys that played under him at Utah State, and they speak so highly of him. They love him. Travis Reynolds speaks so highly. They hate it. When coach left to go to Oregon State, they hated that. Because they say he was one of the, one of the most fairest coach that you can ever have coaching for you. But not only that, Coach, now he put you, I'm quite sure you knew going into that, once you got that job, what area would be your area.
Yes.
What is it like?
Which is South Florida. No doubt about that.
Coach, at the same time, he's expanded that. When you were at USF, you basically had Dade, Summer Broward, Naples. Now you got a lot of the Southeast. You've expanded. When he gives you 3 weeks on the road in the spring, you're in Atlanta, you're in Tampa, you're in the Carolinas. You're spot recruiting, going all over the place. Describe that, because you're not really just soaking down here in paradise for a couple weeks in a row like Tag lets you do. You're all over the place to see some of the best in the Southeast.
No, well, actually, we have the state of Florida. We have the state of Georgia. We have Alabama. We have Mississippi. We got New Orleans. So, you know, we spot those other states. But our home of what we're trying to make a living is in South Florida as well as Georgia. So we spot the other states. So we got a lot of ground to cover.
And tell me a little bit. Now, you came down the last two cycles, got two kids that I think have a lot of upside that our listeners in South Florida want to hear about. Kenny Turner from Central, along with Shamar Smith from Miami Jackson. How are they developing on your roster right now? How are they coming along for you, Coach?
Well, just to talk about South Florida kids and just to understand the dynamics of those kids, and like you guys were talking about last week about dogs and the kids that kids been playing since they were four-year-old and playing peewee ball. And guys in the South probably don't eat like other kids do, far as in the upper Georgia, Carolinas, that got all three meals a day. So when you get those kids on your campus and they start eating three squares with snacks and everything, you know, Shamar came in at 199 pounds. Shamar weighs 235 now and is competing and playing as a freshman. Unfortunately, Kenny turned the year, tore his ACL a little bit, but, you know, he'll be back in the spring ready to go. But these are some of the kids that are coming and competing right away and giving Oregon State a competitive edge from the kids in the South. So, you know, it's a great deal for those kids to come out here and see something different and
Coach,
play some great football in the Pac-12.
Coach, when you said South Florida dog, and you know this as good as I do, I think it only exists in, quite frankly, three counties in the whole country. When you're evaluating a prospect and you could tell Coach Anderson and your assistants, he's got that dog in him, describe it in your opinion what that means in the evaluation process.
Well, just to piggyback off of what you guys were talking about last week, you know, I had a great example. Devontae Freeman coming out of high school was a two-star, three-star kid, you know, but you got to understand the kid is probably better than a two or three-star, because the kids in the South Florida, they play each other every week, so they're beating each other up. You know, I was a high school coach down there, so I know how the stars and the rankings and all that stuff go, because those kids play each other, you know, every week, week in and week out. You know, you go to other regions of the country, those kids don't play each other like that. So that's why you have the South, where a kid might be a three-star or a two-star, might as well be better than a four or five-star that's from another region, not taking nothing away from no other region. But those kids play each other year in and year out and week in and week out. So it makes the competition a lot better than it would be in another region of the United States. So, you know, I give the edge to a South Florida kid because they got to put that level of play on every week. You know, and again, not taking nothing away from no other state or no other region, but, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Now, Coach, your coaching career, like I say, you take Miami Central to state championships. You go and coach at South Florida, have a good time, get yourself older, and now you're at Oregon State. Coach, when you have this much success, everybody starts knocking on your door. So when jobs start opening, people wonder, do you take them? Here you are. As you know, FIU has just opened up. Your name is being mentioned for that, you know, possibly one of the candidates in that pool of coaches for FIU. Have you thought to yourself, you know, would you want to come back to South Florida and coach at a school like FIU?
Well, unfortunately, I work for Oregon State right now, and I can't talk about any other jobs right now. That's not in my deal right now. But, you know, I work for Oregon State right now, and Coach Anderson is great great mentor for me right now in my career right now. And, you know, I'm doing the best job that I can for Oregon State right now. And if that opportunity knocks, then you deal with it when it comes. But, you know, unfortunately, I can't speak on that. That happened. I apologize to you for that.
Oh, no, Coach. Coach, I understand. I understand because guess what? We want you to have as much success as possible. But because but I know, you know, when you're hot, you're just hot. And, you know, it is what it is. But Coach, now, coming from South Florida and you come back here to do your recruiting, how hard is it for a guy that's already has roots in South Florida to recruit and tell kids, okay, hey, you can come up to Oregon State and you can have a great college career? How hard is that for a guy versus a guy that don't have any roots here in South Florida?
Well, you got to also understand that South Florida right now is the hotbed of college football.
Yes.
You know, some of the BCS program make their living in South Florida. So you got to have some guy that has some ties and some roots in there that know people down there that probably know who the champion is. Who is the champion in that kid's life? Who's going to help that kid make that decision? That's what it boils down to. And don't have nobody that don't have no grassroots or that don't know nobody in there. You know, you go down there in South Florida and you talking to a head coach and he don't know you. You know, he's not going to give you, yeah, man, his uncle is da-da-da-da. And he's not going to give you that information. But if he knows you or he heard of you or you have a tie-in down there, then he'll probably give you a word of mouth of what's going on with that kid. But if a kid or a guy coming from out of town that don't know the laws of the land, you got, he'll probably be lost. But if
Coach,
you get a guy that knows everybody, then it's much easier to filter your way through.
Coach, you got Nall, Big Back, you got Pierce, Collins, the list goes on. Tell me a little bit about your stable, where you're at right now in terms of not only the talent level, but the development that your specific position group is coming along with.
Well, right now we're a young group. We got sophomores and freshmen, and we're trying to develop and do some good things. And I think my young guys are battling their tails off right now. We're not where we want to be right now, and some of those things are self-inflicted. But I think in the process, and when you're playing Division I football, everything comes with experience and time, but you got to get those guys ready. So it's no more they got milk behind the ears right now. They got to go. They got to be able to withstand and see the rotations and understand the pass protection of college football. So I think they're on the right track, and we're playing some young guys, and I think we're going to be okay in the coming future.
Coach, I know on home games you're spending most of your day recruiting before you guys kick off late. But having spent a lot of time on the West Coast myself, one of the perks that a lot of college coaches get, you get to watch some of these early games before you guys kick it off because you're 3 hours behind us over here. You get a chance to watch some of your prodigies, whether it's Yerby or Darling or Devontae or Dalvin. You got so many of them that you have produced out of Central. You get a chance to watch those guys if you're on a road game in a hotel before you guys get to kick off. And if so, tell me how proud you are of their development, because they're doing a heck of a job.
Well, actually, I was checking out a game this week. I was watching Florida State and South Florida.
Yeah.
And I had guys on both sides. Quinn Flowers, a guy I recruited out of Jackson, that's at South Florida. And Dalvin Cook, and you got Dietrich Nichols at corner. So I was pulling up all those guys, man, and just to watch those guys develop, man, and be able to compete like that, man. I was just proud to see those guys running around on national TV, man. Just soaking it all up, man. And just wanted to be a proud person right there to see those guys compete. You know, coming up from the South Florida, and you just want to get those kids out there to have an opportunity, and those kids are living out their dreams right now. So it's good to see that.
Coach, tonight is Monday Night Football. Tonight is Monday Night Football. One of you guys is playing tonight. Do you get a chance to see some of you guys that's in the NFL, like, you know, Freeman? Do you get a chance to see these guys play? You know, I know you guys' schedule busy. Do you get a chance to see them play?
Yeah, I get a chance to see these guys move around on Sundays. Freeman, Panfield, playing for Tampa Bay. Devontae Davis, linebacker at Tampa Bay. I can keep naming them. You know, those kids are doing a tremendous job right now, and I'm so proud of them. You know, and I have to call and check up on them. John Milledom is not doing too well over there at Buffalo, but he's competing his butt off. So, you know, I'm happy for him. And, you know, just, you know, I try to call these guys or text them and just encourage them, man, to keep going, man, and just live your dream while you can, you know. So.
And, Coach, when I talk about Devontae Freeman, Coach, and I
yes.
look at where he's come from, because I watched the documentary that they had on him, and I got a chance at the Pro Bowl to speak to, as a matter of fact, the guy that ran the funeral. I think it's the funeral home that was involved in his life. What is that like, Jackson, knowing that this kid, when you a coach and you know this kid have this type of upbringing, how do you keep these kids grounded?
Well, obviously, you know, a lot of these kids come from bad backgrounds, and, you know, just given the opportunity, and some of these kids will flourish sometimes. You give them the opportunity. And here's another kid that, you know, again, it was Johnny on the spot. You know, a recruiter was coming out to see Brandon Gaynor. Brandon Gaynor was in night school, okay? So it was another running back, which was Devontae Freeman out there doing his thing. And the recruiter from Florida State offered the kid right on the spot. You know, he didn't ask, was he a 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star? He just liked what he saw. And the kid jumped at the opportunity, and he stuck with it. And, you know, when his senior year came, you know, I mean, when at the end of his senior year, you know, it was like, it was who's who that wanted the kid. But at first, like I told you, kid wasn't even a 3-star. Nobody knew who the kid was. So for that kid to stay grounded that long, and to be working and helping out at a funeral home just to make ends meet, to get extra money to help his mom and his sisters and brothers, that's a testament to that kid. And I'm just blessed to see this kid get all his endeavors right now. And he's working hard. You know, he just got his first Pro Bowl, you know. So I'm very excited for the kid.
Coach, he must have came through before I was down here, because that stuff doesn't happen on my watch anymore down here, bro.
If there's a South Florida dog,
he's getting a minimum 4 stars down here.
Listen, and I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, yeah, it's before you came, because as soon as you came down here, this is when Dalvin was him and Joseph Yerby was king of the hill down there, so.
Yeah, he came in on that latter part of the tenure of them great running backs to come out of Miami Central. But I had a chance to watch him. Mm-hmm. I played the running back position.
Yeah.
Love watching this young man. Hard runner, tough-nosed guy, a guy that, you know, wanted success. And then when I heard about the story, because like I told you, I had a chance to meet the guy that ran the funeral home that came out in the story, and he was telling us about how he took him in and how he took him and took him around the funeral home and showed him different things and from his upbringing. I got a chance to watch that story. If anybody that is watching, you're live here on the Tony Sands Show. We're talking with Coach Lockett, Oregon State, South Florida, Miami Central, great guy that led Miami Central to state championships. Coach, here at the restaurant, we're at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. It is high school night, and we have some local stars here in the building here at the restaurant, and there, you know, we got to interview some of them. But man, like I told you, Coach, it's a pleasure to have you here on the show. I hope once you get in South Florida that you join us here over at Escape Restaurant and Lounge and when I say best burgers, you know, and I know Dade County, you know, in Dade County, I love going to Dade County Transpower because I leave there and I hit some places. But when I say come down to the burgers here at Escape Restaurant and Lounge, Coach, Backyard Burgers is what they call one of the best in the business. So we got to get you to come out to Escape Restaurant and Lounge and try some of the burgers here.
Coach, plus the best part is it's right down the road on Sunrise from our go-to spot, as you know.
I hear you. I will attend when I come down there. I don't have no problem with that.
Coach, let me ask you this. Some of the great wisdom, and you gave me a lot in the last 5-6 years of knowing you, was, hey, when you go down to Dade, don't just go to Central and Booker T and Northwestern like everybody does. Keep going south. Go see Cooney and those boys at Southridge. Go to Homestead. Go to Miami, Columbus, go to Gables. Tell me, when you come through in the spring and you start all the way on the bottom and work your way up to the muck, to where Cider's from, what are four or five spots you love to hit in terms of, God, I got to go see that coach, he does a great job, or I got to go see this spring game because he'll do a great job there and I know there'll be guys there. What are some of your favorite stops every spring?
Well, obviously, you know, you start down in you start down the homestead, you know. You start at South Dade, you work your way back up north, you gotta hit South Ridge, you gotta go to Booker T. You gotta hit Central, you gotta hit Northwestern. But you gotta also hit the Edisons, you gotta also hit the Carr Gables. Those are the schools that, you know, most colleges probably won't go into because they want to go to the bigger schools. But you got to go to those little schools because they might not have a guy year in and year out. But if you keep going by that and they have a guy and you stay loyal to going by that, just chopping it up with the coach, you know, he'll be loyal to you. So you have to stop to the schools that probably don't have those 4- and 5-star guys. You know, just stop in because guys down there that do a good job. The ones that just come up my head is Coach Tim down at Southwest High School. He does a tremendous job with the talent that he has. You know, I try to stop in there year in and year out. You know, so those are some of the things. You go back up north, you got to stop in and you got to see, you know, the coaches at Scranahan. You got to see the coach at Dillard. You know, you got to see the coaches at Ely. You know, and then, you know, you see the powerhouse, you see St. Thomas, and you see the other Heritage, and you see all those other things. Working in West Palm Beach, it's the same deal. If you got to stop in there, you're going to see those top-tier schools, but you got to stop into the other schools that don't have kids that might have that next-tier talent, like South Broward that got a lot of talent, you know. So you got to stop into those schools and just get a relationship with the coaches, and they always remember you because – you know, you're not beating down that powerhouse school every year. So that's my deal. And how
Coach, I'm coming to see you November 10th at the Rose Bowl against UCLA. I'll be live on the sidelines. I might even be wearing Oregon State Beaver shirt that I wear every Saturday on Fort Lauderdale Beach, pulling for you guys. Describe to me, because you guys are there for a reason. You're trying to rebuild that program back up, get that roster back stacked with talent. When Gary Anderson has this program healthy, how is it going to look offensively and defensively? Are we going to see spread tempo? Are we going to see dual threat QB? Are we going to see his attacking 3-4? I mean, describe it in the years to come to get the Beaver Nation fired up.
Well, if you just get a taste of when he was at Wisconsin, when he had a tough defense running the 3-4 with Dave Miranda and those guys moving around, and you know, he had a great offense, you know, up tempo, stuff like that. But when he was at Wisconsin, he had a down year. He had Melvin Gordon. So coming out here in the Pac-12, you got to throw it around a little bit. It's a speed and space conference, so you'll have a dual quarterback and you'll spread it out up tempo. It's the name of the game in the Pac-12. So once we get all the pieces to the puzzle together, it'll be very scary, because one thing Coach Anderson is about toughness and building character. And if you can't have toughness and you don't have character, this is not the program for you. So we want all teachers that want to be tough guys and that have great character and that want to play good football, you know, and that's where we at right now at Oregon State. So we're just trying to build it the right way. You know, everybody wants success overnight. It don't come overnight. You got to build it. So, and we're trying to put the pieces to the puzzle together, and we will. So in a couple of years, it should look good. It should look great.
All right, Coach, hey, keep working hard, man. It was a pleasure to have you here on the Tony Sands Show. We here at BBS Radio enjoyed having you here on the Tony Sands Show. We're live at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. We're talking to the man himself, Coach Lockett, the running back coach at Oregon State. You know he know a little about that RB position. Coach, thank you for joining the show. We got some of the young high school guys here. Coach, one of the top guys, you know, we got some young quarterbacks here in this area. Probably two of the top young high school quarterbacks in the South Florida area that's on the rise here at the Tony Sands Restaurant. It'll be coming up here on the Tony Sands Show.
Coach, I just wanted to say thanks so much for having me on. And before, when I came down here 4 years ago, before I knew all the high school coaches, you were the first one that believed in me, and you told all these high school coaches to believe in me, and I was in it for the right reasons, and they all listened, and I'm forever grateful for you, and I'm proud of how your career's taken off, and I'd buy stock in Telly Lockett all day because the future is very, very bright.
Yeah. Big time.
Thank you guys so much for having me. And again, I appreciate you guys having me on your show, and look forward to being around if you guys want to talk any football or anything else. But again, thank you for having me on. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Coach.
All right.
You're listening. Got a chance here on the Tony Sands Radio Show. My main man, Ryan Bartow, Kiki, we were just talking to Oregon State's running back coach, Coach Telly Lockett. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Before we go to this commercial break, we're going to come back with some of the high school guys, but I'm going to give you breaking news out of the Dallas metropolitan area. Former Carolinas and the Dallas Cowboys defensive end Greg Hardy has been arrested on drug possession. We're going to a commercial break. We'll come back and we'll dive into that and more here on the Tony Sands Show.
Hello. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal you, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me?
888-429-5471. We're live here at Escape Restaurant and Lounge, where the burgers are awesome. You got a chance to hear here on the Tony Sands Show. You got a chance to hear Coach Telly Lockett talks about how he comes to South Florida to recruit guys and the type of guy that he's coming to South Florida to recruit. But as I told you before we left the break, breaking news out of the metropolitan Dallas area, former Panthers and Cowboys defensive end Greg Hardy has been arrested on drug charges. NBC5 in Dallas is reporting that Greg Hardy was arrested in Dallas suburb Richardson on Sunday for possession of controlled substance. He was taken to the Richardson City Jail, where he remains as of Monday afternoon. There is no immediate word on the substance that Greg Hardy possessed. For any information about the circumstances surrounding his arrest, it's going to get crazy. It's going to be amazing if, at this point, for Greg Hardy, I think his career here in the NFL is pretty much over at this point, because he was already questioned about, you know, Dallas had him and should they take him now? Sometime we kind of outlive our past. And with that being said, I think Greg Hardy himself has played himself out of the NFL. But hey, listen, let's get back to high school football here on the Tony Sands Show. But anytime a story breaks live on the Tony Sands Show, we got to bring it to you. But without further ado, the man that is guiding.
That's right.
As I call it, the high school version of the Tomahawk Chop over at Cardinal Gibbons, my main man, Nick Scalzo, joins the Tony Sands Show. What's going on, man?
What's up, happening? Nick?
Yes, sir.
Listen, man, I'm watching you, which I watch you, you know, the last 2 years. But I'm watching you now as a quarterback. Your time has come.
Yes, sir.
How long have you been waiting for this time to come? And did you know once it got here, the way it's playing out now, it will play out?
Yeah, you know, I've been ready for this opportunity for a while now. You know, I just went in there, did my thing, and the time came. And we're 4-0 as of now, and all I see is good things for our team. You know, we have a bright future ahead of us.
Now, tell me, going over to Cardinal Gibbons, you're going there last year, and now you're playing JV, okay? And you're seeing what's happening to the season, because it was an up and down season last year.
Yeah.
What were you saying to yourself if you ever get that opportunity?
You know, I was just always ready for the opportunity to come, you know. I stayed with the kids on JV, worked them, and got them ready for this upcoming year. We played as a team. We got to know each other better. Mm-hmm. I got to know the time of my receivers. Our line worked together, you know. And that transitioned this year into the varsity level. Mm-hmm. And just that time we had on JV really helped, because now we have such good teamwork together and tempo, and that just transitioned perfectly.
But and another thing about you, I came out to practice, and I got a chance to watch practice, and that was probably, you know, I understand what goes on in games, and I watch you at the Chaminade game, and I watch your composure, and I watch you lead your troops to a win. But I got a chance to watch, you know, you find out a player when you watch him in practice, what type of player he is. And as I sat there and I watched you, there's a couple of things I picked up on with you. I picked up on your leadership ability. I also picked up on
the way
if a kid ran a route short, mm-hmm. you called him out on it.
Yeah.
You made sure he knew if that route was supposed to be six, it's six. It's not 5.5, and it's not 4.5. It is 6 yards deep. That's what you and normally quarterbacks are waiting on a coach to do that. But I watched you, and I told Coach DeBuck at the time, I said, God, I love that. And I love the fast tempo that you guys are running over there. But how long you and your receivers, now you guys have played together a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I've had a lot of
how many championships, let people know how many 7-on-7 championships have you guys won?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think we've only lost one or two championships for 7-on-7. We've won over 10.
And how long you been playing with the guys?
I've been playing with my teammates for about 4 or 5 years now. 4 or 5 years of 7-on-7. Yeah. We went to IMG a few years ago, won that. Mm-hmm. And last year we were at the 7-on-7 for Adidas. Uh-huh. And we won states there too.
Now, does that help also that your guys know you know your guys? It's almost as if you can sit back there and throw a pass in the dark. And you know Bostic. Or you know one of the twins, if it's a dig route, you know where they're going to be. You can close your eyes and know that whatever they got to do to get open, they're going to be there.
Yeah, since playing with them forever, I know exactly where they're going to be at the right time. So I can throw the ball before they go out of their break because I know that's where they're going to be. And, you know, not only since I've been playing them forever, but after practice, every day we go out and throw an extra 100 balls just so we have the perfect timing every time so that when I'm getting blitz, I can put the ball up before they're making their break, and it's going to be there for them.
And so you said a key thing. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. You're talking with the quarterback at Cardinal Gibbons High School that's leading them to, I'm going to say it, he's not saying it, but I'm going to say it. He's leading them to the success that Cardinal Gibbons has been yearning for years. You go in there, and all of a sudden, you get a new coach. Coach DeBuck takes over.
Sir.
What was his expectations of you?
You know, Coach DeBuck, I've been talking to him and stuff since 7th grade, and my whole plan was to come to Gibbons and, you know, come in as a sophomore and start playing then. And, you know, he just groomed me extremely well. You know, we have a really close relationship.
Now, let's get into a little bit of life, because I like to joke with you guys when you come on. Here you are. You know, you lead Cardinal Gibbons is undefeated. You go and you beat Chaminade. You know, these are some games that, you know, some of the writers did not predict you guys to win.
Yeah, I don't think
they didn't predict you guys to win Jackson.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you go and you beat, so I say you beat Chaminade pretty good. And you beat up on a Jackson team that the week before beat up on Booker T.
Yeah.
Now you walk in the halls of the school. You're a big man on campus. Was you still hearing? Because now I'm quite sure your student body and the administration heard that Jackson just beat Booker T.
Right.
And they in their mind they said, well, Booker T beat St. Thomas. Ooh, we got a tough one.
Yeah.
Did you hear anything around the campus? I don't know if we're going to beat them. I don't know if we're tough enough to beat them. Did you hear those whispers?
Honestly, not really. Okay. Our students and our teachers really believe in us.
They believe in you.
Yeah, and we would talk about it every day. And they would say, all of the students would be like, yeah, you got this. You guys got this. No one really cares what they predict.
Because you guys got a heck of a student body, man. If you ever go over to Cardinal Gibbons and you sit in the end zone, and they put them in the end zone like they do at the college game. They put them in the end zone.
Right.
I don't know if that's to distract the kickers that's kicking that way, or it's just to mess with them because they got to come through that way
right.
to get to the field. I don't know. And they designed it well. I don't know if they're saying, well, guess what? We're going to keep these students away from these parents because these students are rowdy.
They're crazy.
Over here, they love to get rowdy.
Right.
But now, back to what I said, you're the big man on campus now. And not only, you know, when you're a big man and you're a receiver, all right, that's all. You're a big man on campus and you're the running back, and that's all.
You're the big man.
But when you're the big man on campus and you are the quarterback, you are the man leading the ship.
That's right.
Things get a little different. How do you keep yourself, because I know when, you know, and I'm going to say it, when the little girls pass by you, you know, I know they point, hey, that go Nick Scalzo.
Look at Coach over there shaking his head.
Hey,
he already know.
You know, how do you keep yourself grounded dealing with all that?
Yeah, you know, you just got to stay focused because that's the main thing. You know, it's not about now, it's about the future.
Uh-huh.
So you just got to keep looking straight.
Right.
And, you know, I'm keep my mind focused.
I know, I know Dad here on the show about that. People listening, I understand. I you gave what they would call a great political answer. You gave a great political answer, man. Listen, we still, you know, you got Hollandale this week. Did you get a chance to see them when they played St. Thomas?
Yeah, I was at the game.
You was at the game?
Yeah.
What did you get a chance? When you go to a game to scout a team, what are you looking at?
Looking at the corners or safeties or defense.
What are you looking at? You say you're looking at the corners, you're looking at the safeties. What are you looking at? Are you looking at, let our folks know, are you looking at the scheme that they're running? Are you looking at how a corner play in a certain deep offense? Give us some insight on from your eyesight of what you do when you go to scout another team.
Yeah, so you can just look at how they play, how aggressive they are.
Uh-huh.
So you could find the open spots in the defense where you could go after that one spot.
Uh-huh.
You could look at how far they start off, if they're playing cover one, cover two, cover zero.
Right.
Those are just the minor things that goes into preparation for a game. So, yeah, just going to those games and us having a bye week last week, I was able to go. Just finding the little tendencies that they do that we could beat them on is what puts us above everyone else. You know, us at Gibbons, we have a mental game.
Correct.
We have a physical, but we are extremely mental.
Mm-hmm.
We break down all the film. You know, we just know what play's going to happen before it happens. Like, Coach Buck has two or three plays ready before he's calling the first play.
So now you go in with all three of those plays, and at any point in time, you have the power to check in and out of an offense. Like, say if you say, we're going in with the, you know, play 101, but yet and still I got 101, 102, and 103. Do you have the liberty to check out of 101 and go to 103 if depending on what the defense give you?
Yeah, Coach DeBuck's put a lot of trust in me so far.
Okay.
Even though I'm only a sophomore, only four games in, but he gives me the ability to check plays on the line if I see something different with the defense.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we've done that a few this year, and we've actually capitalized on a few of those plays.
Now you got, like I said, you got Hollandale, and I know that's down the line, so I don't want to cloud your brain with that because we want to win this Hollandale game.
Creek. We got Creek Thursday. We got Creek.
Oh, yeah, Creek still. I'm jumping ahead. You know, I'm jumping ahead. I'm still jumping ahead. I can't, you know, I know in my business I overlook certain teams, and I'm sorry about that, but I'm really going to make sure. See, they go to quarterback again, telling the guy, hey, listen, hold on, slow down. We got to make sure that we get past Creek first. Then we'll take on the upcoming opponents. We're going to play this game week to week, day to day, and everything.
Yep.
Man, listen, it's a pleasure having you on the show. You go back and, man, you continue to do what you're doing. As you heard me each and every week, man, Hot 105 is in love with you. I've talked about you so much on Hot 105 on Fridays before you guys play that. Everybody, you know, as I say, the brothers know who you are.
That's right.
The brothers know who you are. And, you know, I'm quite sure they love your smile. They're going to love your smile.
They love the way you play, too.
You got that quarterback smile. You remind me of a couple of guys that you know I watch play, but you're a little different. You know, I watch these little spread type of quarterbacks, these spread guys that can have that composure. There's one guy, but I don't want to say his name. That you kind of remind me. You got that renegade toughness, so I ain't gonna even mention his name. But his play on the field, hands down. You remind me of that guy. And I ain't going to call his name. I'm just say he was the quarterback at Texas A&M that won the Heisman Trophy. But you remind me of him on the football field.
I love him.
When you look at this guy on the football field, what he did off the field was something different, but what he did on the football field that won him the Heisman Trophy, you have a lot of those characteristics.
Thank you. Thank you.
You continue to play. You continue to lead that team. And the one thing about it, you continue to stay grounded.
Yes, sir.
Stay
because
humble.
Because that's what makes your guys over there believe in you.
Yes, sir.
You know, and there's a lot of you guys got an opportunity before the season started to get rid of a lot of the I's. Mm-hmm. And you kept the four letters, which is team. And everybody's believing it. Sometimes certain things happen and we don't know why they happen. And we're saying, just, oh, what we're going to do without them. Oh, but it was a blessing to you guys.
Yeah, it really was.
Because you guys are playing as a team. There's no I's. You don't got to worry about who I got to get the ball to. Am I pressured to get the ball to please somebody?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure our first game we played, we had four touchdowns of four different receivers.
Exactly.
And every receiver touched the ball that game.
And that's a, like I said, and that's a, you know, that's a blessing to Coach DeBuck that he is, that he's putting you in the position to be successful. And that is great, man. Listen, it was a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
You tell the guys over there at the, as I call the high school Chumahawk, you tell Coach DeBuck, I said, man, thank you for letting you come on the show. Thank your dad for taking your time out. Thank you for taking your time out. But don't leave because we got to take a picture with you before you leave here on the Tony Sands Show. You're talking to the main man over at where? Cardinal Gibbons High School. DeBuck, we're taking good care of him here over at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. We're taking good care of your quarterback. I'm going to make sure that he get back to you because I know that's what you want him to come and make sure that he takes care of the job at hand this week. Man, I got to, you know, hey, it's a pleasure, man. Anytime I can have you on.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep pushing you because you deserve it. You keep working hard, man.
Yes, sir. I will do.
We're going to go to a quick commercial break. You are just listening to Nick Scalzo, the quarterback, the man over at Cardinal Gibbons that walks the halls and they say, ooh, there go Nick Scalzo. Coming back here on the commercial break.
Alrighty.
Looking for you with Haitians. I stay smoking on good Jamaican. From different races. You get money, they started hating. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
We're back here on the Tony Sands Show. We're live at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. You was just listening to, if you just not joining the show, you was just listening to Nick Scalzo, the quarterback for Cardinal Gibbons High School. As we told you, it is high school night here at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. And now you have my main man. I had a chance to spend the summer with this guy. And me and him went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I fought him tooth and nail to let him understand what it takes to be great. My man TJ is joining me here from South Broward, along with his as we would call him Bunny and Clyde, Virginia Tech commitment. TJ, I'm going to go to you first. What is it like, man, being now you the star quarterback of a major, major, major program?
Oh, you're asking what is it
like? Yeah, I'm asking you, what is it like, bro?
Well, it's a lot of adjusting, really.
What do you mean by adjusting? Break it down to me.
Last year at South Plantation, I really didn't start.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was just trying to get into playing varsity as a freshman. So
right.
The game just slowed down as more I played.
Mm-hmm.
And like when I came here, I just had to build chemistry with these guys.
And what did you say you had to build chemistry? What did you do to build chemistry with these guys?
During the offseason, every day after school, threw 100 balls to each wide receiver.
And you say to each wide receiver, but I know one thing about wide receivers, they are divas. What is it like trying to get each one of these divas the football?
Well, they all cry for the ball, but still have to sweat the ball. Even though how much times they cry, still got to spread it.
Now you say they cry for the ball. Do they come back to the huddle? Man, I was open.
Yeah.
I was open. Give me the ball.
Every time.
And they can be double covered and they still telling you, man, I was open.
Yep, every time.
What do you tell them when they come back to the huddle and they tell you that?
I tell them, all right, just look for the ball. On to the next play. And whatever's open is open.
So, Mr. Nelson, Virginia Tech commit. All of a sudden, you're in a situation. You get TJ, he comes in. What was your expectations of him?
He's a young quarterback. I was kind of down him at the end, but further this season, 7-on-7, I had to buy the barn. I had to build a barn with my quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Feel me? All of a sudden, he became my favorite quarterback of anybody that came to South Broward. So me and him built a barn, and we just like Bonnie and Clyde. We make it happen.
Now, coming out of the huddle, you guys run that spread up, and so coming out of huddle, do you brush by him and brush him on the way? Hey, listen, make sure you get that ball still tipping.
We give each other signals. We got special signals.
You're committed to Virginia Tech.
Yes, sir.
What's your expectations going into college once you finish your high school career? Do you expect when you go to Virginia Tech, you want to play right away?
I expect if I don't start, I'm just going to redshirt for the first season and then come back, work hard while I'm redshirting, and then come back and grind some more and start. That's what I'm looking for.
I know what TJ's offseason consisted of.
Yeah.
What was your offseason like?
My offseason was like, man, I had a lot of hard work in doing around the house. You know, my grandma, she was sick.
Okay.
And I told my grandma, I'm work every day. I'm at the park every day. She'll call me, Timothy, where you at?
Uh-huh.
I'm at the park working, grinding, grandma. I'm grinding for you.
And you said, you know, your grandmother was sick. You said you told her that you was doing it for her?
Yeah.
How much do that motivate you when you're tired? When you think that your body is telling you that you're tired and you want to push that extra mile?
Oh, man, it's such a great feeling. When my grandma be like, come on, baby, you tired? I be like, Mom, I'm doing it for you, grandma. I ain't going to never stop. You ain't got to never work again. Pick any car you want.
Hey, and that's, I know that was, you know, the dream that I had as a young guy to make sure that my parents were taken care of, to make sure, you know, and those are the dreams that you have. Going into college, going to Virginia Tech, what do you have plans to major in any? What's your major you think you're going to be? What do you want to study at Virginia Tech going in?
Science. I really don't know yet. I was thinking of that.
Pretty much undecided.
Yeah.
That happens to a lot of us going. Because I changed majors 3 times in the time that I went in as business.
Right.
Did communications. Criminal justice, went back to broadcasting.
Right.
I mean, you know, you tend to, they say the average person student changes 2 to 3 majors in the process.
Right.
What are you guys' expectations for the remainder of the season? Where do you guys want to see yourself at?
Well, we looking for 15 games, state championship.
So you guys looking to be in the Citrus Bowl?
Yes, sir.
In Orlando?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Well, TJ, listen, I guess you know your shoulders must be broad because everybody's depending on the trigger man to make sure that goal is set. It was a pleasure having you guys out here with us, man. Listen, TJ, guys got to – then you guys in y'all district, unless you come out of your district, when in y'all district because you have, what, Hollywood Hills?
Hollywood Hills.
Hollywood Hills. Nova.
Who?
Nova.
Nova.
West Broward.
Yeah, West Broward. So right now, you guys are leading your district.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We're second.
Second? Yeah. TJ, how many yards have you thrown for this year?
1,100.
1,100? How many yards have you caught out of that 1,100? It's yours.
220.
How many TDs?
4.
Wow. So you making sure you get that ball. You making sure you get that ball to him. I know he probably see you in the hallway and bump. Hey, listen, man, I need that rock.
Yeah. Right.
I need that rock, man. Listen, you got a chance here on the Tony Sands Show to talk with Virginia Tech commit, as I call them, as I call receivers, all divas, Mr. Nelson and Mr. T.J. Smith. You're the quarterback at South Broward and the wide receiver at South Broad, as you call them, Bonnie and Clyde, all in one. You know, they mix it up and get it done to make sure that South Broward is playing in the last game of the season, which is in the Citrus Bowl. Man, it was a pleasure having you guys here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to talk with a couple more of you guys. Thank you for coming out.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for having
business us. Business schedule. Hey, Lies, as I told you, you're getting a chance here on the live on the Tony Sands Show. We got a chance now. We're going to get into a couple more interviews, and we're going to talk more about Jose Fernandez and breaking news with Greg Hardy here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to head to a quick 45-second commercial break. My man, my producer, Doug, is going to play it, and we're going to get right back here with some interviews here on the Tony Sands Show.
Yo, Jordan, this right here is crazy. I feel big, you know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight, you know what I mean? Like, gaining weight or nothing like that, like, colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me.
We're back here at Escape Restaurant and Lounge, live here on the Tony Sands Show at Escape, where the burgers you can't escape and where the chicken wings out of sight. Escape Restaurant and Lounge here on the Tony Sands Show. We're coming back, as we told you. It is high school night, and we are bringing some of South Broward's finest athletes, T.J. Edwards and Mr. Barnett. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yes.
Is that what? How is that? How do you pronounce that, and what is it?
That's Benoit.
Benoit? Yeah. Is that, what is it? Is it?
Like Creole.
Creole?
Like Haitian.
Haitian? Okay, yeah. Creole. Now, in some cases, say it's French.
Yeah.
They all use the French word. You know, hey, no, that's more French, because the French, at one point, I think, had that island, and they used the French as means. Mr. Edwards, linebacker. Man, you great day. You're kind of nice here, bro. You got a nice size there. You're pretty big, man. I had one of the other receivers on that committed to Virginia Tech, and I was talking to TJ. Mm-hmm. You guys are deepers. What is it? I mean, do you find yourself going back to the huddle, getting in TJ's ear, hey, man, get me that ball. I need that ball.
Yeah, it's some type of plays when it be wide open plays. He be misjudging it. He be thinking too much a little bit sometimes.
I'm saying, but, you know, hey, listen, I was open. Even though you're double covered sometimes,
yeah.
You go back, hey, man, I was open. Get me the ball.
I don't ever demand the ball, but I'm saying if you can throw it, throw it.
You don't demand it?
Nah, sometimes I don't demand it. I don't put too much pressure on them.
You're the first receiver I've ever talked to that say, nah, I don't demand the ball.
Nah, because sometimes he be getting out of his head, throwing picks and all that.
So you want to make sure you keep him down.
Keep him down.
Keep the young guy level and on the ground. I was at that game when you guys played Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
You guys played Fort Lauderdale. I was on the sideline checking you guys out. Man, you got some big weapons over there to choose. You guys ain't no small weapon of guys. So you guys were and the game went well. I enjoyed the game from the halftime show to everything about the game. It was a game that I must say I enjoyed, and I spoke about you guys on Hot 105 when I go in there on Fridays. What schools are you looking at, and what schools are looking at you?
I'm looking at Miami, Ohio, University of Alabama, Birmingham, and South Alabama.
South Alabama?
Yes.
Now, your pick, which one would you take?
I might go with Miami, Ohio.
Miami, Ohio? You like Miami, Ohio?
Yes, I love it. I went up there. I enjoyed it. I love it up there.
Love it.
Love it.
Run the type of spread offense that you guys love, that you're used to anyway.
I love the coaches up there, too.
Mr. Edwards, we come to you as a linebacker. What is it like? Now, you the quarterback on the defense.
Yeah.
What do you think? When you guys are in that crunch situation, like at one point you was going into halftime with Fort Lauderdale, where that game could have went either way, what are you telling your defensive guys on the sideline? Because you guys were hitting hard, I must tell you.
Yeah, we were just into the game. We were telling them, stay focused. Coach was keeping us hype. That's what I like. He keeping us hype. We was into the game. It wasn't really no competition, though. It was a bad win for us, actually. We were supposed to beat them by a lot.
Yeah, I was checking it out. I was at the game, and you guys were making some mistakes that shouldn't have been made that you guys were making that, you know, kept that game pretty close.
Yeah, but on my per se, I really think we're the best defense in Broward County, to be real.
And you should. You gonna give somebody else the credit? Another team the credit? That's the nature of being.
I think
a great player.
It's us and St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but most people don't.
But
really
you gotta meet
that.
Them too now.
Yeah, we're gonna meet them. We're gonna.
I gotta meet them. So that's coming.
Third round playoffs.
Third round playoff. You guys already calculated that on the. I'm questioning some of y'all probably jotted it down on schedule. Third round of playoff. We got St. Thomas. We're gonna make sure that we're ready to go. Cause you're seeing how this thing playing out all over South Florida. You get, like I said, you got Miami Jackson beat Booker T. Mm-hmm. Miami Central beat Booker T. Booker T comes into the season, beat two of the nationally ranked teams, American Heritage and St. Thomas. So this thing on any given Friday night can play out. Can play out any type of way. As I talked to TJ, them guys, Nelson, said they expect to be in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. Are you guys' expectations high like that just as well?
Yep.
Yeah, we got Coach Rosegreen, man.
Yep.
You ain't got to tell me no more. You ain't got to tell me no more. I'll be on my Twitter, you know, my Facebook, Instagram sometime, and I'm watching him still do box jumps. Rosegreen is what you said. He ain't Rosegreen.
That's how he be in practice every day, Coach.
He's hype like, yep, yeah, he's hype
just,
guy.
Just like that.
He's been like that since I've known him. Rose don't even play the radio. Rose, but that's what you need. You need a guy that done played the game at a high level, that understand and has passion for the game, and understand what it takes to get a player to react to his system. You guys know he's not going to, If he can score, if he can shut a team out, that's his job. I saw when that one that y'all let them score, and he was hot. He was livid. But what is it? What do you guys take from Coach Rosegreen that you guys see that you're going to take with you from now until you go to college?
Hard work.
Eye of the tiger. Dedication.
He loved doing it. He stayed away. He probably in the weight room right now.
Yeah, he loves what he do now.
He loves the weight room.
He loves what he does.
So hard work and dedication. That's what I'm taking.
I say eye of the tiger because he know how to bring the dogs out of us. That's why. We've
you
turned
do got
a one
flying
and nine.
Around. I must say he has a coach. If you're listening, you do have him flying around. Y'all tell Coach Rosegreen, I said he do have you flying around. And he one thing about it, he can put a defense together. You know, he put guys in the right position to make plays. And that's what a great defensive coordinator do, a great head coach do. They put you in the right place to make plays. You guys continue to work over there, man. Continue to listen to coaches. To your coach, and continue to listen to Coach Rosegreen because he's going to put you in the best place play to be successful. Because I know he's going to go crazy that third week, as y'all say. So we ain't gonna say nothing more. We're gonna say who's that third week, but we're gonna say he's gonna make sure that in that third week that you guys are flying high, man. It's a pleasure having you here on the show, Mr. Edwards, Mr. Bonnet.
Benoit.
I gotta pronounce that in French. My Twitter is going crazy. I gotta see people tweeting me all over the place. So you can tweet me here at TonySands24 if you got any question that you want me to ask any of my guests that joins the Tony Sands Show. It's a pleasure having these guys on. We're gonna go to a quick minute break. We're coming back here on the Tony Sands Show live at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. Hey, man. Back here on the Tony Sands Show, my main girl, my right hand, she sits to the right of a girl. Kiki is joining with us. We're doing interviews. Man, it is high school night down here at the Tony Sands Show. We're enjoying ourselves. Our guest list, Coach Lockett from Oregon State, Nick Scalzo, TJ Smith.
That's right.
South Broward team, Mr. Edwards, the linebacker, the man that's in the middle that is tearing it down. Virginia Tech commit. Mr. Nelson joined the Tony Sands Show. But let's get into it. Like you said, let's get into some of the topics of the day. And the biggest topic here in South Florida is Jose Fernandez dies in a boating incident. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the Marlins, as we talked about, the Marlins did get the jerseys in.
They got them. They just got them today. Not too long ago before the game, I saw it.
So they got them in. They looking ready to go.
They're looking nice.
And they look nice.
They just scored D. Gordon, the second baseman. He just scored his first home touchdown for Fernandez.
He got the home run.
Yes, the home run.
He got the home run for Fernandez. And that's got to be emotional.
Yeah, they took it. They took it pretty hard.
It's got to be emotional. And you know, he was supposed to pitch that next night.
Right.
The next day he was supposed to be pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, like I said, investigators have stated, you know, per report that there was not anything with drugs or anything like that involved in the incident. And they're still investigating. Fish and Wildlife, you know, got a lot of investigation.
I think they were just speeding too quick. And that's one thing.
Probably trying to get into that little channel. And
right, and it's dark. I heard like
3 o'clock.
Saying that it was really dark. It's really hard to see out there.
Yeah, that visibility gets real. And if you look at the boat flipped over, it was, I'm trying to figure out how it would, you know, you wonder on this, how it would get flipped over at that particular point.
Mm-hmm.
And crash into that wall. But things happen. If you know, they got the banners hanging outside of Marlins Stadium, number 16, Jose Fernandez.
And I have a further news just saying that they will retire his jersey also.
They're going to retire it?
Yes, they will retire his jersey in honor of his
name. Early. 24 years old. Yeah. One of the best pitchers around. In the major league, and all of a sudden at age 24, you die.
He just came over here. I didn't remember. He said just came over here in 2008.
Wow, 2008. You just
2008. He came to U.S.
To the U.S. And
he got shot in 2007. He's a Cuban native. So all the Cuban people, they really.
Oh yeah, they're in mourning
right now.
They're taking this pretty tough in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And not only Cuba, but here in the United States, in Miami and Little Havana, they're taking that pretty tough.
Pretty hard.
But let's get into, before we get into our Monday night breakdown of the Atlanta Falcons.
That's right.
And the New Orleans Saints. Who that? Let's talk about Greg Hardy. And as I told you.
He's done for.
Greg Hardy was once among the best pass rushers in the NFL. But after a Ray Rice domestic violence incident put the NFL under intense scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
Hardy became toxic for his own past domestic violence arrest. Although charges against Hardy were eventually dropped, he never played for the Panthers again after the Rice elevator video became public. After that video became public, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, he signed with the Cowboys. But this year, no team has shown any interest in it. No teams show interest in Greg Hardy.
Mm-mm.
He was already a long shot to return to the NFL, even if he stayed on his best behavior. And drug arrest could end the hopes he had of playing in the NFL.
He's done for.
When you look at this story, I feel for this. I feel for Greg Hardy because it tells me at some point, he needed somebody to guide him in some type of way to help him understand that the NFL is not going to allow certain things. And this is one of the things that they're not going to allow.
Right.
They're not going to allow you to bring a bad name on the NFL. They're just not going to do it. It's not in this day and age. That is not happening. What the heck, somebody? It is going on here at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. You're talking with my girl Kiki, and we are enjoying where we're at. Kiki, it's a great night. But let's get into the NFL game tonight with the Atlanta Falcons. Let's break that down.
Uh-huh.
And we look at Atlanta.
My boy Ryan.
And there you go. We got Devontae Freeman, as we talked to his head coach. Freeman. Yeah. Don't forget now, you got Freeman. You got back, you know, you got the fullback who helped open holes for Dante Freeman.
Right.
Yeah, Julio Jones.
My man.
You know, and how can this offense play up to its potential? Mm. It's going to be the question. K, Can it play up to its potential? Here on the Tony Sands, can they play up to their potential and get what got to get done? Here on the Tony Sands Show, I tell you, it's going to be an exciting day of football. And my main man, Coach Junior Rose Green, listen, he is a heck of a talent. He's coaching South Broward, making sure that they do right. But let's get him back into this NFL game between the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
And New Orleans Saints. Let's get into that a little bit, and we're going to dig into this thing and make sure, as you see, the Saints, I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going with the Dirty Birds. Who are you taking?
I'm going with the Dirty Birds, too, just because of Julio. I'm going with Atlanta.
You going with the Falcons? So we're going both Falcons here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to go to a quick 30-second break, and we're coming back, and we're closing out the Tony Sands Show live at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. What's up, June? We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. Kiki, what's going on? We got a hybrid linebacker in the building from South Broward, another protege of Junior Rose Green, one of the best DCs in the business.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and tell me, you know, what your expectations and where you're playing and what is it like playing for Coach Rose Green?
For me, I came from Kansas City and I was looking for an opportunity to get ready to work. Mm-hmm. And as I met Coach Rose Green, he kind of connected with me. He told me everything I wanted here, and now I'm at South Broward. It's like a dream here. I'm getting my stats up with a big program. I like my teammates. We all communication.
Now, what is it like, as I told you, a lot of, you know, Rose Green is a passionate guy mm-hmm. when it comes to coaching. What was it like getting up under his tutelage? What are you learning from him? What are you taking from him that he, because he played at high level. So what are you taking from him that you're using in your game that you're using on the football field?
His passion is his love for the game. He always told us a hybrid look and move around. So that's why I use that and I make plays.
So now, what's your classification? For those that are listening to the Tony Sands Show.
Right now, I have no offers, but I'm ready to work.
As you heard the coaches that are listening, we had Coach Telly Lockett on from Oregon State earlier in the show, and that's what he say. He come down, he don't look at stars.
Right.
He look at players' heart.
That's right.
And see where they can play it. So, listen, South Broward has a whole slew of players and they're being coached by one of the best in the business that understand what it takes to play at that next level. If a college coach is listening right now, in 30 seconds, sum it up why they should take a guy like you.
I'm a kid with a big heart and big dreams. I only come where I just want an opportunity.
You want, like I said, give him an opportunity is all that the young man is asking for. You're listening here on the Tony Sands Show as we sit and enjoy one of South Broward's finest of protege of Junior Rose Green. And you got to meet Rose Green because Rose Green is passionate. Rose Green probably in the locker. He's probably in the weight room right now doing box jumps. Putting it up on his Instagram page, making sure that we see that he has passion. And I know his passion transfer over to you guys.
Right.
You guys continue to grow because you guys going to win the district and then you got playoffs and then the third week in playoffs. I'm quite sure that's what you guys are looking for.
Not
Nova.
They got Nova this week.
Oh, okay. That should be an easy W for
I'm going to say it. Kiki already said it. She already said it's a big win for you.
I'm going to let you know.
I'm going to say it. I don't want you to say it because I don't want you to get – I don't want this
Stay
to become bulletin board material
right.
for Nova.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's a pleasure having you here on the Tony Sands Show and
thank
enjoying
you.
Man, hey, keep. I'm gonna check you guys out. When y'all play Friday?
Yes, sir.
I'm gonna have to come back and check out one again. I was at you guys' Fort Lauderdale game, man. I enjoyed watching you play. I enjoyed everything about that game. I enjoyed the game, enjoyed the halftime show. Everything was an exciting atmosphere being. You continue to play this game. Stay here with us when you close out the show. We're closing out the show here on the Tony Sands Show. As Kiki, as a matter of fact,
I want you guys tonight, to Monday night, NFL
give us your NFL pick. The game tonight, Atlanta Falcons or New Orleans Saints.
Who you got?
I'm gonna take the Atlanta Falcons. I like the defense.
All right, that's so we'll it's unanimous. Everybody's right. Going Dirty Birds with the Atlanta Falcons. We're closing out the show here at Escape Restaurant and Lounge. I will be Friday night. I will be in Vegas. The only show from South Florida that will be on the road in Vegas to watch St. Thomas play number one Bishop Gordon.
That's right.
You can get your updates on my Facebook Live. You can get your update on my Twitter. I will be bringing it to you live. The only show that is traveling to Vegas to watch that game. Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show as we come back next week and each and every Monday as we bringing you the latest in sports and life here on the Tony Sands Show as all we right. Close out. Kiki, give him a word of wisdom to go out on.
Stay positive. Keep it moving. God's first.
Hey, you heard it here on the Tony Sands Show.